We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Brody, I know you're not a vehicle guy because you're a Toyota Camry man. You're not a truck man.
One car that I've fallen in love with is the new Mustangs. And I've never been a Mustang guy, but I love like the Mustangs and the Dodge Chargers. So here's my question. I'm 48 years old.
He's not going to get a whole hell of a lot better.
Is that a bad look if I was to get a Mustang at 48 years old? Does that just look like midlife crisis?
Gene Cusumano calls those sports cars midlife crisis mobiles.
Trichino.
No.
No? Okay.
Who cares what people think and say? Do it.
Nice car.
Yeah. She's a sweet ride.
Is that your orthopedic back pillow?
Because I do drive a lot during bear season.
Right.
You know, driving from Chicago to Lake Forest on a daily basis, assuming that's what will start to happen in July. I'm not saying that I'm in the market necessarily, but I was just thinking about that. I'm like, I'm late blooming for a Mustang, like something I didn't want when didn't care about when I was in my 20s. And now maybe because it'd be nice to have a nice car and maybe I have more means to do it, I think, but then I think, that might be a bad look.
Whose car is that out front?
Mine. 1970 Pontiac Firebird, the car I've always wanted, and now I have it. I rule.
Uh-huh, where's the Camry?
I traded it in.
Shouldn't you have consulted me first?
Let me think. No, you never drove it.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thank you for being with us. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. A lot of interesting stuff there with your friend Ron Rivera. Mac, what were your top takeaways from Chico?
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit... I guess I'm torn on this. There is a part of me that wants him to call it out when it deserves to be called out. I certainly respect somebody's business etiquette. Not going to call out another owner, not going to call out his own owner. For the team's name, or in the case of other owners, for their stance on anthems and what it would mean if they kept the team in the locker room. He said, no, I wouldn't call that cowardly. I guess there's a part of me rooting for him to be more upfront about it, but I respect his decision not to be, because he doesn't want to inflame a potential former and future employer.
He's in a tough spot, obviously.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
he has signed a contract where the money is guaranteed. So he's not applying for the job in Washington. He has the job in Washington. And the discussion in and around racism in this country has changed since he got the job in Washington. And the mayor of D.C. came out and talked about the team name with the slur, of which he is the top football employee in Washington. And I got to be honest, I'm not saying I'm surprised, But I am disappointed when he says it's not the time for the conversation about his football team's name. Because, to me, there are two types of things that are happening right now in this country in the wake of George Floyd's murder. We are trying to have systemic progress, which is the most important form of progress, right? Like, that's the stuff that is institutional, that this country was built upon, and it gave an institutional advantage to white people over black people from slavery through Jim Crow, through modern acts like redlining and housing discrimination, hiring practices, all of those things. The systemic stuff that is really tough to change. But we're trying to work on it, right? Whether it's banning chokeholds in police departments or improving access to voting in minority communities. Like, there are things that have happened legislatively since George Floyd's murder that suggest it is possible that we're working towards systemic improvement. And then there's the second thing that's happened, which is the symbolic progress, which is frankly easier, right? It's easier for Clemson to change the name of their honors college from the plantation owner when a petition goes viral and Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins attach themselves to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that symbolic progress isn't meaningful. Like, it is still progress. And there, you know, so when people are like, oh, it's cancel culture about these Confederate monuments. You mean these Confederate monuments that make no mention of what Robert E. Lee was fighting for, that were erected in the height of Jim Crow as basically an intimidation tactic to black people as they were fighting for their equality? You mean those memorials? Like, but so when those things come down, like, that does matter. That is saying, hey, we are not erasing history. You want to read about history, read a history book. You want to learn about history, go to a museum. But we don't need to send our children to Robert E. Lee Elementary School as right. if this is a thing of honor that he led a traitorous army. So I say all of that to say, this is exactly the time to have the conversation about the symbolic progress.
Why didn't
saying,
you tell him that? Don't want to upset your buddy's friend.
I said, I mean, my follow up question was, do you mean this radio show or this time in our country?
Right,
because I would
right.
argue, and I said, I think I said monuments and something else to him.
Right.
Like, this is that exact time. Like, I would argue,
I think
this
it is
the,
too. Yeah,
the exact time to have that conversation.
Yeah, it is. I think it is too.
You know, and so, and by the way, I did a little research before the interview. Like, he has not been asked about the team name since he's been the coach in Washington, which blows my mind. So my guess is that conversation, and he would have been the next time he has media availability in D.C. after what the
right.
mayor of D.C. said. So they would have gotten there. But I will bet that, maybe not in the time that he's the coach, but certainly possibly that team name changes in the not too distant future.
Boy, to date, Daniel Snyder has clung fiercely to his desire to keep that their team name. I think that, boy, I wish they would change the name, but if I'm going to say that, do I, then you have to just keep going, right? And then you have to keep going. Anytime somebody of Native American heritage is used in mascot form, don't you then have to start thinking about just taking all of those names and burying them?
And well, so... I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. You can finish your point.
No, that's all right. I mean, is the right time for me. Now is the right time. I agree with you on that.
So the difference between Braves, Chiefs, Blackhawks, Warriors, and the Washington football team, is only one of them is a dictionary-defined slur, right? And so if you want to say that the Chicago Blackhawks logo as a caricature is offensive, that's a conversation that we can and should have. But you cannot argue that the team name Blackhawks is offensive. Right?
Well, and it's not even, that's not even meant after an Indian. It was meant after a fighter pilot or a jet,
warship,
right? Yeah,
a warship.
But then, of course, they use the mascot, which certainly is, you know, the caricature of it. And by the way, like, when you go and you see the tomahawk chop or the, you know, when you see, like, white people in Indian headdress and headgear, you're like, oh, God, that's just, that's not it. You don't need to celebrate the Kansas City Chiefs in that way with, like, literal arrowheads, you know what I mean, like bow and arrow type things coming in and out of your shoulder pads that you're wearing to a Chiefs game. Like, it's a corny, bad look that's not great. But the name itself is not a slur. And I think that is the difference. And so, again, if you want to say, like, we should talk about the tomahawk chop is symbolic, or the Blackhawks logo, or the Braves old logo, or the Indians, excuse me, old logo with Chief Wahoo, which they have changed, by the way.
Yes, who looked more like Scottie Pippen, North said years ago, and I thought that was very funny. The old Cleveland Indians, it looked more like Scottie Pippen than it did a Native American.
Here's Jeff. The National Hockey League Chicago Blackhawks was named in honor of the U.S. 86th Infantry Division, which was nicknamed after the Blackhawk Division, after Blackhawk, a Native American chief, the team's founder, Frederick McLaughlin, having served in that division. So the name itself, named not after a tribe, but that is the warship, like you said. But then,
the Hawks?
Of course, yeah, the Hawks. But then the logo is the more problematic, or the focal point of the discussion around our local hockey team is going to be more about the logo than the team name. But, like, the Washington football name is clearly different than Warriors, Braves, Chiefs, and Blackhawks, right? We can all agree on that logically?
I think so, yeah. Well, I agree with you. I can't speak for the others.
Yeah, I think that that's – I'm standing on pretty sound footing logically. And so a texter comes in and said, this is all going way too far. It's super easy for you to say that. Does that make sense? Like, it's easy for, if it's not about your heritage, your race, to be like, ah, y'all are just sensitive. It's easy because it doesn't offend you. And so the only thing that I'm like, I get where Ron Rivera is in a tough spot there with his owner's previous stance, who's signing his checks and all of that. I do. But the only thing I disagree with, it absolutely is the time, because while not as important as systemic institutional progress, symbolic progress matters. Where I think sometimes people get all upset about it going too far is, like, pulling up a comedy sketch from 2002 and relitigating it through the prism of 2020. That accomplishes nothing, right? Like, the goal was satire. It was a different time. It's comedy. And time and place matters here. But a football team name that is a dictionary-defined slur in 2020, when we're talking about symbolic progress, I don't know, man. Like, if not now, when for that conversation?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, you are too young to remember this, and I most guys your age probably have never heard of this. When they played in Fulton County Stadium in Atlanta years ago, the Atlanta Braves used to have a mascot who would reside, I believe it was in left center field, in a teepee. And his name was Chief Nakahoma. And anytime the Braves needed a rally, Chief Nakahoma would emerge from his teepee and do a home run dance in anticipation of a big bomb from Henry Aaron or Orlando Cepeda or any number of Atlanta Braves. And That went away a long time ago, but some of this stuff, I mean, can you imagine that? Chief Nakahoma, what is more? Oh, my God, you talk about stereotypes. Let's have the chief come out of the teepee and do a home run dance.
Yeah, it is.
Hysterical to me.
It's crazy, right? I mean, it happened in my alma mater, the Syracuse Orangemen.
Yeah.
Now we're the Orange. Is it a little ridiculous, like, to be a fruit, to be a color? Like, yeah, it's a little ridiculous. But the old caricatures were horrible stereotypes. It was not good, and they changed it out of respect to Onondaga Nation and the tribe and the land up there, and they changed it. And at the time, there were some, you know, it's political correctness run amok. And then the world kept spinning, and they're the yeah. Syracuse Orange, and it's fine. Like, it, you know, so it's not – people act like this is some great affront. And all I would say is, like, if your greatest gripe in life is, like, it's been this way for forever, and now you're changing the name of an elementary school or a football team name or a statue, like, imagine being on the other side – of that scale when it comes to racial inequality and injustice right. in this country.
Right.
You got it pretty damn good if the biggest thing that you're offended about is, oh, man, my son might have to go to a different school. Like, he doesn't even have to go to a different school. Just, like, the name on the front of the school now has to change. Like, that doesn't seem like that big of a hardship as we try to work towards racial progress.
I'm going back and forth on whether it's fair to expect, and he stopped shy, Ron Rivera, stopped shy of calling it a burden, but he did admit that, yes, it does appear that this is being dumped in his lap on pressuring his owner to change the name because he's Hispanic. He's not Native American, he's Hispanic, but it does seem there's a perception that's grown, and I struggle to really get my head around how I got to feeling this way, but it seems like there are a lot of people who want him to be at the forefront of that. I almost said beating the drums for that, but that probably would have been a bad choice of words, so I shared it with you anyway. But I don't know. He said it at the end. I'd really, you know, I love to stick to football. He'll get into these conversations, but it's certainly not his most comfortable territory. I don't know if that's fair, and I'm not saying that because he's a friend. I mean, if Andy Reid in Kansas City were being pressured to ask the Chiefs ownership, hey, change the name, let's no longer use Chiefs. I would think that's unfair to Andy Reid, too, to dump in his lap. I just think that's a bit much. That's not why you hire these guys. They should be, to some degree, administratively crisp and in the traditional sense of the word, presidential, but they're football coaches, right?
Yes. The only thing I will say is it's not unfair for the question to be asked. Like, I'm not saying that Ron Rivera needs to be out there leading the charge to change the football team name. He is in a spot that it's not likely that he has the power to do it, right? He got paid a ton of money. He's got an owner who is on the record. It's his football team. It ultimately will come down to Dan Snyder changing it or public pressure from Roger Goodell and the other owners to change it. So, yes, that is probably quite literally above Ron Rivera's pay grade, but he's the spokesperson for the damn team as the coach. Like, he can certainly have an opinion on whether or not they do it. If he chooses not to share it, totally his prerogative, but it is not an unfair line of questioning for the head coach of that football team, in my opinion.
We're a little bit late in getting to the needs of Native Americans, but better late than never, I suppose. I think the last American president who really gave a damn about Native Americans was Nixon, but we don't like doing a whole lot of politics on this show. Have you seen the alternate Blackhawks jersey? I'm sorry, sweater logos. Have you seen those by any chance in recent days? Jay Zawoski tweeted a few of them out last week.
Yeah, I did. It looks cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And do I want them to change? No. Am I going to jump up and down if they do? No, I don't. My favorite part, well, I guess they would have to change that too then. My favorite part of the uniform is not Chief Blackhawk on the chest. It's the crossing tomahawks. Would those have to go also if you're taking the Native Americans' face out of it? You're going to lose that culture. You're going to also lose the crossing tomahawks. I just thought it was always a really cool accent for a jersey.
Oh, listen, the Blackhawks logo and jerseys are iconic, and they're awesome-looking jerseys. I don't know. I certainly do not have the knowledge, or like it's not personally offensive to me. So like I'm not the one who can make that judgment. So if there's a group of people who are offended by it in any sort of representative way, then that's the conversation that's going to happen. I thought that the mock-ups that Jay shared looked pretty cool. And again, when people hear this conversation, I know I can hear the eyes rolling, right? It's like, this is PC culture run amok. All I'm saying is that this is the times that we're in, and symbolic progress does matter. And if it's like if you would say something back in the day, right, you would say like, oh, that's gay, as an insult. And we've learned, like, why would you do that? It's ridiculous. And we've evolved our, those of us who care about the LGBTQ community, that's a really simple one to be like, oh, something that, right, I said when I was 14, 16 years old, right? That's something that I can very easily adapt and evolve. It doesn't hurt me at all. Those words hurt them. That's progress. Did that solve all issues of gay rights? No, of course not. But if you are just like a generally speaking empathetic person, if minimal inconveniences to your life can make large symbolic differences in their life, it seems like the least we could do.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy trade, isn't it?
Right? Am I crazy? Like, people are like, I was like, oh my God, it's PC culture run amok. And like, what are they coming from next? I'm like, I don't know what they're coming from next. But like, nothing that's changed is really, like, you're upset about some statues and the name of a college in Clemson and maybe a football team or a jersey logo or two. Like nothing that's happened strikes me as being totally unreasonable. Maybe I'm missing something, but am I? Has anything that's happened that actually has been quote unquote changed, canceled, however you want to put it? Like, none of it strikes me as that unreasonable or that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. So if it makes people feel better and it's a sign towards less bigotry and more love and acceptance, like, it doesn't strike me as that big of a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Shep has shared with us the old Marquette mascot, Willie Wampum. Whew. Is his name, and he's got lots of frayed leather, it looks like, frayed whatever it is he's wearing, and a gigantic plastic head, and he has a hatchet raised above his head, dancing in Milwaukee. I assume it's in Milwaukee, right? Well, they changed their name many. They were one of the first, I'm pretty sure, to decide to bag their name of Native American heritage. And Chief Illini Weck, who I thought always performed at a very entertaining level, the University of Illinois had enough of that, what, about 10 years or so ago, I think. At least 10 years ago, I believe, they discontinued with Chief Illini Weck. He always got the crowd going, and I always thought it was done fairly tastefully, as Tanny notes in a text, respectfully. I believe that's Chief Illini Weck you texted us, isn't it, Chris?
Indeed, yes, but the respectfully, yeah. Kind of in jest, I suppose.
Oh, is it in jest? Okay, I thought you were, because most people thought the Chief was terrific.
We've had battles on this afternoon show for many years between the downstaters and people who thought it was respectful versus people who thought it was not so much. So, yeah, it's a little deep score dive there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, it's not for four white guys to be like, that's offensive to Native Americans. Like, I don't, like, in terms of like how you respectfully depict, the each and every mascot or the Blackhawks logo or this logo or that logo, I honestly am not qualified to say. The Washington football team, pretty cut and dry. Like I absolutely feel like I'm qualified to say that that dictionary defined slur for Native Americans in 2020 should probably not be the name of a $4 billion North American franchise. Like, that strikes me as totally logical and reasonable on that one. Like, I can't see much room for debate there, but hey, it's 2020. I suppose we can debate just about anything, including what the heck baseball is going to look like. David Ross and Jed Hoyer spoke. A couple of Cubs employees so far have tested positive for the coronavirus. The players are going to have the majority of their testing done on Wednesday. We can give you some insight into how the Cubs are approaching the restart to this season coming up on the...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
As far as positives right now, we currently have two staff members that are expected to be delayed and will not be with us at the beginning of camp, you know, based on positive tests. To this point, we have not had any players test positive above 100.4, and they're sent home. Yeah. And I think they have further testing as a result. And people have to test before they come in as well. So you're required to test before you come to the ballpark, do a temperature check at home, report that, and then you also get a temperature check when you come into the ballpark.
It's Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer on the two, as described, tier one employees who have tested positive for the coronavirus. Welcome back, Mac and Parkins, on the Score. Not players yet, but the players are going to do the majority of their testing on Wednesday. Jed Hoyer and David Ross meeting some of the beat writer media virtually today. We're expecting positive tests. We're expecting a lot of positive tests in baseball. And Cubs, White Sox, and anybody, no one will be immune to it. The question will be, how will they handle it going forward? And I think this is obviously just the beginning for baseball with this. Two tests for the Cubs. And what we've had Mike Leake of the Diamondbacks say, he's not going to play for them. He's 32 years old. Ryan Zimmerman of the Nationals says, I'm not retiring, but I'm not going to play this year at 35 years old. So we're starting to see guys say they're not going to play and starting to see guys test positive. But expect a lot more of that news by the end of the week in baseball.
Yeah, you certainly can, and I think the line is just beginning to form on guys who are going to take a pass on playing baseball this year. Ryan Zimmerman has earned a lot of money in his big league career. He would have been turning 36 before this season has concluded, and as you point out, he again insists that it's not a retirement. He's just not interested in taking the chance this year, and I expect to see more guys follow suit. I'd be surprised if at least half the teams in baseball don't have at least one player who says, no thanks, I'm not interested in this year. And I said it a month or 2 months ago, I'm standing by, I am not going to criticize one person for deciding to take a walk on the season. I retweeted one of Morosi's tweets earlier today, and the name calling began immediately. Almost as soon as I sent that out there about Zimmerman, people wanting to take shots at Zimmerman for choosing to exercise caution during a pandemic where 125,000 plus Americans have perished. That's about 25% of the world's population that's died. That's us here in America. And if you've been watching what's going on in Florida, Over the last 4 or 5 days, I don't know how in the world anybody in his right mind could say, yeah, let's go to Southern Florida for that series against the Marlins, or let's play the Rays. Let's do that. Let's walk right in to the hotbed of virus activity right now. Man, you think I'm high on that number? By the way, more than half the teams will have a guy who says no.
Maybe around there. Like it feels about right. Maybe a little high. Because I think guys want to get paid. They are in the low-risk group. They're seeing the country reopen and the majority of the country, the vast majority, going back to work. So there will be a feeling of why are we different.
Hang on a second. Back up a second. You said they are in the low-risk group because of their age?
Yes.
Well, they're, you know, that doesn't take into consideration what else they might have going on the side, though. What if they have a son or a daughter who was born prematurely and is immune compromised?
No, I understand, but I'm saying, you've talked a lot about the mindset of the young person who thinks they are immortal, right? I think that the majority of players who have not signed their big contract yet, which is a huge percentage of the league, right? Especially when they're talking about these expanded rosters, you're seeing prospects, you're seeing younger players, not older players, be attached to it. So these are guys trying to prove themselves and then get an unconventional chance, right? Guys might get a chance earlier than they otherwise would have in the big leagues because of positive tests. And I will be... And they need service time, right? So, like, if you don't get paid the big money in baseball until you're through your arbitration years, right? Like, Chris Bryant still has not reached free agency. So, for Chris Bryant to sit out and not accrue a year of service time towards free agency, and then he hits free agency a year later when he already has lost his grievance to hit free agency a year later than he wanted to, like...
Mm-hmm.
You're just talking about the risk of tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars for some of these guys that I'll be surprised if it's a huge number that voluntarily skip. I won't crush any of them for do it. Doesn't matter to me at all. So it's not a criticism. I just think the likelihood of a mass exodus of players opting not to play, I don't expect that to be very prevalent. Maybe I'll be wrong. But, I mean, so far we have two and or three. And baseball is expected to start up again with camps in a little less than a week.
Summer camp. Go ahead and say it with a smirk.
Yes, summer camp is coming up. You know, so I don't think it is entirely. I don't think it's very likely that it'll be a huge number. I do think there will be a big number of tests that are positive, and the thing that'll still matter is what are the league's tolerances for dealing with a bunch of guys not being able to play for a significantly prolonged period of time, / what happens when 1, 2, 3, 4 people, whether they be coaches, umpires, or players, or family members of players, to your point, start experiencing worst-case scenario-type symptoms. And there's going to be a conversation about, is this all worth it? And so that's where we're going. I'll be surprised if a huge number of guys opt out on the front end. We've seen 3 or 4 do it in the NBA, 2 or 3 do it in baseball so far. Like, there's been ample opportunity for guys to say that they're opting out, and we haven't seen a ton of it yet.
No, but they haven't even reported to their summer camps yet, nor, you know, have they had the experience of 4 or 5, unless you're a Philly, a bunch of teammates who have tested positive. So there's a lot that remains to be seen in how people are going to react to this. I may be willing to make that another bet with you today, Parkins. Welcome back to work today, man. We can just keep making all kinds of bets.
What's the bet?
The bet is there will be – the over-under is 15.5. You got 30 teams in baseball. I say more than half of them will have a guy who says, no, I do not want to play this year. So 15.5 is the total. I'm going over. You're going under. You want to go another $100?
Sure, $100.
$100. Oh man, yep. They throw the wagers at you.
Yeah, I'm in on that. I mean, I don't have a strong feel either way, but I do miss gambling on sports. So
I know, that must be what's into me today.
Yeah. So I like the action. I think that there are going to be dozens and dozens of positive tests in baseball, and I think it's worth passing along what our infectious disease expert, Dr. Rob Sitrenberg, said earlier when he texted the show. He was listening. Baseball has released their 101-page protocol of suggested safety measures, and while people talk about, you know, no spitting, no chewing tobacco, no licking of the fingers for pitchers, that sort of thing, the fact that the point of reentry after a positive test is two negative tests, we have a doctor telling us that that is a mistake. Yeah, this is Tanny's music for when Dr. Rob Sitrenberg gets negative about sports on the show. He says a large number of patients, maybe up to 50%, continue to test positive for several weeks after they have recovered. So since sports are using negative tests as the criteria for reinstatement rather than recovery from symptoms, many players who test positive will not be able to return. What they really should be doing is symptom-based return, which is 10 days of symptom resolution and no fever for the past three, because there is no evidence that anyone with a normal immune system is really contagious after 10 days of symptom resolution, but people are nervous about it because of the positive tests. The tests detect genetic components of the virus, not the live virus itself. So what that means is Chris Bryant could test positive for COVID on opening day, be symptom-free from COVID the entire time, go 10 days without symptoms to Dr. Sitchenberg's benchmark, have no fever, but still test positive for COVID for the entire season. Test positive for months after you have the virus. I don't know how you tackle that one.
Yeah.
And he's saying that, you know, that, or what my inference would be, that the league would just not be cool with the, since we are still in the early stages of understanding this pandemic, you can't say Chris Bryant tests positive for COVID and then we let him play after a positive test. But according to our medical doctor, he would not really be contagious even if he's testing positive after 10 days of experiencing no symptoms.
Maybe that information should be passed along to baseball.
Right? Right? Like, that's a confusing one.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man. That is, while we all get excited for sports to return, there's that from the doctor, and then the football scenario of the incubation period, which we talked to him about last week, which was you could get the virus on Saturday, test negative for it on Sunday, play in the game, be contagious, and not test positive until Monday or Tuesday because of the incubation period.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what you do with that information. Like, 100 pages of protocols is great. What do you do with a virus that doesn't care about your protocols? Right? Like, that's just, it's going to be real ugly and real complicated. Because
yeah,
these
is.
Tests are coming out when there is social distancing and they're not playing sports.
I was getting right? around to feeling last week like baseball is going to be able to pull this off. With more information now, it's I would not bet on that with you. it's
yeah.
just because at some point it appears if you have some of the biggest stars in the game and you have stars on every roster who are infected and going to be out for a while and they don't seem to have any idea as to how to keep this thing at bay, I can't see them practicing business as usual to the best of their abilities even in these circumstances. For baseball, I don't know. I have no idea what this is going to look like. Nothing. I
if it's anything like the rest of 2020, it's going to be ugly. How about
yeah,
that?
I would not. I certainly would not bet on them to get all 60 in. Nor would I bet on the NBA to begin its postseason tournament on July 31st and actually pull that off, or hockey pulling off its 12-team tournament, in which the Hawks, 24-team tournament, the Hawks have an entry, right? They're the 12 seed in the West. They've got Edmonton. Shep, get Mark Messier this month. I'm sorry,
gotta
next
preview
month.
This.
Next month, right.
Yeah,
we got another
June.
Month, right? I mean, I don't think you can't get into Canada until the 21st of July. So
who's counting? So how many weeks are you going to get in Canada, by the way? What's the addendum to the old vacation?
Oh, I have no idea, dude. I'm hoping to get 10 days in. If I can get 10 days in August, terrific. I'm not expecting it, so I decided to go ahead and book a short-term trip for Wisconsin and have that in my pocket. Also have Minnesota in my pocket. Like I said, I mean, there's people who've lost loved ones in this. There are a lot of people who are going to suffer for a long time, even though they don't die. See, we know about 125,000-plus death. What we're not hearing about, the numbers of people who are going to have to undergo respiratory rehab for the rest of their lives, and a lot of them much younger than you would expect because they already were respiratory compromised, then they get the virus, and those lungs have taken a beating during a recovery period. We don't even talk about those people, Danny. So if I can't fish Canada this year, that's the way it goes. Too bad, so sad. I want to go in the worst way. I have many very good friends who live there in Vermilion Bay and also in Dryden. But if I don't get to go, I don't go.
Obviously, that's the right perspective. I was just curious what the contingency plan was for the annual beloved Canada trip. So hopefully 10 days and little Wisconsin or Minnesota consolation prize. It could be worse. Could certainly be worse.
It could be worse.
We'll put a bow on this thing before Joe Ostrowski next on the Score.
I've been chomping at the bit, excited to get started. The players are excited to get started back. We're still going to have to go out and compete at a high level. The mantra that I've always had and the winning teams I've been on, you really do have to take it day to day. We understand that it's a shortened season, but the real winning and is in the details of the daily process. And those are the things I'm going to focus on. We can't look at, one game and what that loss or win might mean. We just have to come in every day, get our work in, play the brand of baseball we want to play, we're expected to play, and then come back and do the same thing the next day.
David Ross with the Cubs beat writers. Of course, the new Cubs manager who will be managing in trying unprecedented uncertain times. This is his debut in the dugout.
This very unique Chicago sports situation.
You better believe it. Yeah. Capital letters.
David Ross also said, and I think that this is the exact right mindset to have when you approach this season and any talk of asterisks or what does it really matter. He said, if they're giving out a trophy at the end of it, I want it. It's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, that's been what I've suggested. You know, somebody is going to wind up winning this thing. Why wouldn't you want to work your ass off to get it? And
asking for a piece of metal back.
Yeah, it's not just a piece of metal, Mr. Commissioner. You bite your tongue. And with the weirdness of it, it's a statement for whichever team wins it. If they actually award one to somebody, it's a statement about how much they stuck together through this, how well they treated, how much reverence they had toward the virus and respected social distancing, wore the mask, and organizational depth if they have to cover guys when they do test positive and have to go away for a couple weeks. So, if they're giving away a trophy, I want it. I love that.
That'll do it.
That will do it.
Yeah, it's a good mindset. And I hope they figure out a way to pull it off. They're certainly trying. They have a 100-page document. We didn't spend a lot of time on it because it was just one detail and one news story that I read, and I haven't seen anyone quoted around it. But I read a story about that said that baseball is making the teams responsible for the contact tracing testing for positive tests. I have no idea how they logistically think that they can pull that off.
I don't know if that's doable. Literally.
It might honestly just be for family. Like maybe that's what they mean, because I didn't read the full 100 pages, but like in the summation write-up that I read at CBS Sports, they went into pretty good detail. It mentioned that. I was like, so if a player tests positive and then they say that they came into contact with 22 people, right? They were out at a restaurant or they were doing this, that, or the other thing. Like, baseball is in charge of conducting the tests for everyone that they came. That's impossible.
That is impossible. Right. It's not going to happen.
So I just wonder, like, how much of this document is just, hey, here are our best intentions, right? Because, like, not spitting in baseball, that's also not going to happen. So I wonder how much of this is just like a, you know, a cover your ass thing. Like, hey, look, we thought of everything. We put it in this document. It was over 100 pages. And then they're just going to let the chips fall as they may. Thank you to Ron Rivera, who joined the show today. Always appreciate Chico's time. He was very interesting on a number of subjects. You can check that out at the radio.com rewind link or the podcast page at 670thescore.com. Herb Lawrence, we appreciate your help throughout all of the Scorantine shows. Would you say this was 71, Mac?
This 71? Is number 71, yes. This is our Evgeny Malkin show. Tomorrow, William Perry, Carlton Fisk, as we continue here on week 15 of Scorantine.
Week 15. Absolutely ridiculous. Thanks to Herb for helping out. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
And I will not be muzzled like a mad dog.
I will put what I have done on radio talk shows to anything a current player has done in baseball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.